Around Comics, Episode 72.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, presented by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it, the graphic novel you've been searching everywhere for, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of graphic novels, collected editions, essentials, and manga to choose from. Not only will you find exactly what you are looking for, but you'll discover unexpected new authors and series. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Google Borders for a valuable coupon, and always remember to check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borderstores.com.
Absolutely. Thank you to the fine folks at Borders. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
To another Thursday episode of Around
Comics. High energy. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, everyone.
I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. Let me introduce you to the co-host of the show. First, my partner in crime, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Next is our other co-host, Mr. Tom Caters.
That was one hell of a Super Bowl, huh?
Whoever hasn't won happened yet.
No, I'm trying to create the illusion that we're recording live.
This is the part where Sal has to enter in the part where we talk about who won the Super Bowl. Sound like we're great prognosticators.
We could record it really poorly on Skype and edit it in.
I knew.
Record a variety of outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bears 36.
I can't believe the Bears won. Like with that last quarter drive.
Just unbelievable. Like,
spent 5 hours going through all the possibilities.
Which one? I forgot.
Well, let's introduce our guest for this episode. Coming all the way from a couple blocks away, I think.
Yeah.
But original.
we cast our net wide for guests.
There's an extra block because I went to get the coffee and then I had to come back. But
our guest this week is indie creator extraordinaire, Mr. Jeffrey Brown. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, and we're obviously going to talk to Jeffrey in just a couple minutes. First of all, I want to recap some of the announcements we went over on Monday. First of all, obviously, as you heard at the top of the show, we're now sponsored by and partnered with Borders, so we're super excited about that. You'll hear more and more details
about that. Take that, LCSs! Mark,
put the knife down. Put the knife down. And I also...
I wanted to remind
people about Around Comics at the New York Comic Con. If you didn't hear about it on Monday's episode, as you know by now, the convention is just around the corner on February 23rd through the 25th at the Jacob K. Javits Center. They'll be hosting the 2007 New York Comic Con. We, of course, will be at booth number A152 in the Podcasters Arena, located between Artist Alley and the main autograph area on the Galleria level of the convention center. At the convention, we're partnering with the Hero Initiative. And if you don't know about the Hero Initiative, you certainly should. The Hero Initiative creates a financial safety net for yesteryear's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support of essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, please visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. So thank you for the Hero Initiative. While we're at the con, we'll be taking donations all weekend long. We have a few people that have agreed to help us out. So if you drop by our table, you have a chance to meet Athena Voltaire artist and co-creator Steve Bryant, the author of The Other Side and Scalped, Mr. Jason Aaron, the artist of The Other Side, Cameron Stewart, the artist of The All-New Atom, and our good buddy, Mr. Mike Norton, legendary comics creator Gene Colan, and by special arrangement from Vanguard Productions, Carmine Infantino. And we still have many more creators to be announced. Keep listening or checking the website in coming weeks for a full schedule of the signings as they become available. As a side note, in addition to the signings, we'll be auctioning off original art, sketches, and signed memorabilia from such people as Steve Rude and Chris Somney.
I'll also be taking donations.
For the Tom
for
Fund?
Me.
The Tom Caters Fund?
For the let's help Tom eat.
All donations can be given in beer or
shirts.
We were talking about our beleaguered local comic shop, and that, of course, is Dark Tower Comics. I want to let everyone know that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. While you're here, remember to ask Dark Tower about their pull list membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics, and trades, as well as statues, action figures, and everything for your comic collector.
You
lifestyle.
Said Dark Tower like Dark Tower's a person. Like, come and ask
I
Dark
do,
Tower.
I do kind of think of it.
It's an entity.
It is.
Mark is Dark Tower. Dark.
Walk into the store and just
Dark
ask.
Tower is my
he signs
friend.
In the message tower. Boards as Dark Tower.
If you would like to buy this book, answer me these questions three.
And remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at www.aroundcomics.com. And I already saw this week's.
Ooh. Is it a Jeffrey Brown comic?
It is a Jeff. Well, it's not a Jeffrey Brown.
It is?
It's about Jeffrey Brown.
Plagiarism.
It's not a Jeffrey Brown comic.
I think we have copyright issues already.
It mentions Jeffrey Brown.
Wasted that night, I guess.
No.
The secrets of it.
I'm sure if Brian did it, it should be great, so we'll have to send it to you.
Absolutely.
If it's on the website, I can just
go there.
Find it myself, right?
Yeah. Your internet capable.
Eventually.
Yeah. Nice. Well,
remember you emailed me. On
oh, that's
we
right.
We talked on email.
Yeah, I'm stupid. Okay. we'll give poor Jeffrey his introduction.
Jeffrey took
here.
A rickshaw here from three blocks over because he doesn't understand technology or how cars or anything works.
Well, to give Jeffrey a brief introduction, Jeffrey is a comic book writer and artist born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He specializes in personal and intimate works detailing moments in relationships. He won an Ignatz Award in 2003 in the category of Outstanding Mini Comic for I Am Going to Be Small, which is really, really good.
That's not true. Is it?
Yeah.
You were nominated for that.
No, I won.
Oh, you did win for
the one for the mini comic. I was nominated for like Promising New Talent, and I did win that one.
Okay.
But it was the old version of I'm Going to Be Small, which was.
Yeah, you keep redoing your book.
Just here and there.
Okay, so we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
So Around Comics welcomes Jeffrey Brown. Jeffrey, how you doing?
Good. It's cold out.
It is freezing. Yeah, I think. Winter officially came to Chicago the last couple days.
But you're from Michigan. Yeah. You should be
well,
hearty stock.
Yeah. I think the thing with Michigan is it was slightly warmer, just more snow where I was. So
Grand Rapids, is that you get a lake effect from
yeah,
there?
Yeah, a lot of lake effect snow.
I know that. What's the one highway that goes right around? It's always snowing. June, July, it's snowing in there. Nowhere else in the world.
Northwest Indiana? Northwest Indiana has the worst weather of any place on Earth. Every time I go, it's raining.
This is turning into a prairie
it's
home
the
companion.
All right.
Oh, and then we were all ice
all the
fishing.
Women. God.
So, save Jeffrey, us. Let's. We usually like to start at the beginning, as far as you know, where your background is.
When you were
is.
Born.
All the way at
that
the
one fateful day in Grand Rapids. did a little research on you. Sal's been doing that, and know that you were a student at the Art Institute of Chicago. Is that coming from Michigan? Is that why you came to Chicago?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I kind of wanted to move out of Grand Rapids for a while, and also kind of wanted to, like, I had just been working and living with my friend, and you know, I lived in the basement and just was piling up paintings and sketchbooks and not really doing anything with them, and so I kind of wanted to find a way to push myself to do something else. And so I had actually thought about going to the Art Institute for undergrad, and so then I just kind of picked that out. I like Chicago.
It's a great city. We all love it.
It's cold here.
Live for the summers. If you can't tell, the listeners out there, it is though. Really, really cold.
Yeah,
tonight.
I was thinking, the weather came to me, I was thinking about that.
Back to the weather.
Back to the weather. You know, there was like 2 weeks when it was unbearably fucking hot in this city, and now it's been like 2 weeks of just the exact opposite.
Yeah. I'm from Southern Illinois. It does not get unbearably hot.
It was in my apartment.
Yeah,
do you want to come sleep
in
my room?
I was in Southern Illinois once. It was really hot.
That's there. Oppressive.
You're also in Southern Illinois.
Well, that's like Kentucky.
I mean, you might as well be. It's a different kind of heat.
All right,
Kentucky
heat.
Going to the Art Institute, was your goal whenever you were there to be a comic artist?
No. Okay. No, I was going to be, you know, like a painter. I was going to, you know, go to New York and show paintings and all this. And I had kind of just before moving to Chicago gotten back into comics, and I just realized while I was at the Art Institute, like, you know, I went there to try and like push my art in somewhere new, and the doing more paintings just still wasn't working. And so I tried getting back to my roots as a child, doing comics. So I, you know, grew up drawing comics and always thinking I was going to work for Marvel or something. So
you grew up a superhero fan?
I was a superhero fan.
Okay.
I was a Marvel guy.
Nice.
X-Men, mostly.
That's
You've just like, crushed the hopes and dreams of thousands of indie comic. No, I'm just
thousands.
how old are you?
I am 31. Okay, I didn't think about that.
I know. I'll be 34 in March. So you're about the same age as us. We were 28 to 35 or so. You're the old
man. No, Mark's older. Aren't you older than me?
Yeah, you're the old man.
The grandpa.
So yeah, it was, I mean, that was the time when a lot of Marvel kids were, you know, the John Byrne stuff, and we talked about that.
It was
great, but your stuff is as far away from superheroes you can get. Except for Be a Man. Be a Man is a superhero
head.
Book.
Big head, man.
Except for the whole superhero book.
Book that he did.
I didn't read Big Head. You guys have to talk about that.
It brings up a question that I had, because looking at your work and finding out that you went to the Art Institute, you're obviously a trained artist. At first glance, a lot of times, you know, you could easily look at your art and almost dismiss it as, I don't want to say amateurish, but it's sort of childlike, and it's very simplistic in a lot of ways. And I know I read an interview you had said that you had specifically chosen that style.
Right.
What was it about that style? Why did you?
Well, it was. I mean, there's a kind of a bunch of reasons. One was just being at the Art Institute, where there's so much, like, emphasis on, like, conceptual, like, thinking, and, like, a lot of, like, art about, like, that just became so self-referential that it's kind of like, why am I even looking at this? And a lot of emphasis on, like, skill, and kind of, I thought, got away from, like, actual, like, expression, like, actually, like, talking about like kind of the human experience. So one thing I wanted to do was kind of find a way of drawing that was more immediate and like kind of in the lines themselves kind of express certain emotions. And another part of it was just like making art fun again for myself, and like just kind of trying to capture like when you're a kid and you're drawing comics and like you don't know all these things that
like you should be doing,
like like you don't
anatomy or
like
you're not trying to
and there's kind of I think there's a kind of a purity in like there's something more direct about that sometimes, like, and you can see like my style's kind of changed a little over time, and like sometimes I'll do things a little it's a lot more refined now than like it was 5 years ago when I was like really trying to abandon everything like in terms of knowing how to draw. But I mostly just want to like make the drawing like very immediate and very like direct in terms of
Sal and I were talking about this today, and at first glance you can look at a book like, you know, Unlikely or Clumsy and say, oh, you know, it is you know, very very childlike looking in its approach at first glance, but then as you start getting into it and reading it, a couple of the things I notice are A, your characterizations never change, and you see a lot of amateurist artists out there, and from panel to panel the people will change and don't, you know, don't look the same. Your characterization of these people never changes. It's consistent throughout. Number two, what I noticed was that you're very good and accomplished storyteller through your art, and it is hard to do that sequentially. It's a skill, and it's something that a lot of folks don't notice, I think, and they don't notice when it's done well. So those two books in particular, yeah. I felt like just the storytelling was very accomplished.
Well, I mean, another thing too is I think sometimes when the art is so, there's so much emphasis on like visual, like whether it's like making something look realistic or just some of like sometimes when it's just so rendered and like flashy in a way, like it's kind of like you, like there's artists that are doing good storytelling, but like, you know, it can go the opposite way where it's, you know, they're really accomplished artists and it's really obvious, but you don't realize that their storytelling is good because you get tripped up on the panels, which is...
Well, I know one of the, you're talking more, you know, superhero artists, Jim Lee, we've talked about him before. It's like, he's, to me, you know, he's amazing draftsman. But there seems to be a little character or, you know, soul to what he's doing sometimes. And you do get lost in the storytelling of it because... you're blinded by the
bright shiny lights.
Yeah,
everything's a poster.
Actually, like that's something I kind of played on, like with Big Head. When I first created Big Head back in high school, every issue was just all splash pages.
So
it was just kind of this idea that, like, you know, like everything is just like this spectacular one-off image. But I mean, like, you know, that's... things can get, there's criticism too that sometimes like things are boring or
Speaking of criticism, I love this. If anyone out there picks up I'm Going to Be Small, most books will put snippets of praise.
Blurbs, yeah.
And here is some of the praise for the comics of Jeffrey Brown. This from The Onion. Usually reliable. This from Warren Ellis. Emotionally about 6 years old, from Metro Toronto, mildly confusing. What's one of my favorites here? Portland Mercury, pathetic losers, nerd, nerd porn, illustrated by a five-year-old.
But the thing is, none of those are necessarily criticisms.
Yeah, it was actually what I did with most of that I took reviews that were fairly positive, and then I took just a tiny piece out of context, because which is like, you know, something like movie studios do the opposite, like they get a bad review, like
it's a bad
like
review,
it's
but
stunning,
then
and it's like
really stunningly bad,
yeah.
Toxic waste.
So I kind of did that. I mean, there's a few things in there that were from like the utter piece can what's the
utter piece of shit from a proper
shit? Yeah, we can say whatever you want. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, like that was like, but then I mean that was a review of Be a Man, where like it seemed like they had they hadn't read anything else, and like they thought like that's like. But then they seemed to acknowledge that it was what it like it was this kind of like chauvinist parody thing, and then that
so they didn't read the intro to the book.
No, they did. But it was like
we don't like the parody.
It was like they didn't believe me.
Well, okay.
Like, that's what it was.
Well, I think what you know, it was funny because I actually and you were thank you for dropping it. You had dropped off all of these books.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, Jeffrey snuck into the shop and threw a bag
at our heads.
Like an 8-bushel box of books.
And the first one I picked up was Be a Man because I didn't know until you know I read the intro, but I said, well, I'm just going to read it anyway. I realized what you're doing with it, but and it was hilarious, and I was laughing out loud at what you were doing, and then I completely got what you were trying to do. But was this sort of based on a lot of the reactions you got from Clumsy? Was it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's based on like a lot of reactions, but there's like just a few things here and there where like people are like, oh, he's so sensitive and blah blah blah. And, you know, it's just like,
I mean, because I got the feeling I mean, there's, you know, I don't know how many different stories or how many different pages are in Be a Man, but it seemed like...
My favorite line from Be a Man, here, you can wipe yourself off with this sock. That's
what's wrong with that? Yeah, yeah, well. That one's actually, I realized later, was true.
Wait
a minute.
That wasn't parody.
Well, I think, you know, you were saying people were still upset even though, like, they understood that it was a parody. You know, do you think
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Like, for me, it was just, like, kind of, like, when, like, I know myself, and so I know, like there's things in Clumsy that are left out, and I know it's like really not necessarily an accurate portrayal of anyone involved. You know, there's certain things I was getting at, and I think those are there. But you know, so like I think like when people like read that and just like think like this is there's just this one dimension because that's all they're seeing. You know, they're not thinking
that's
like
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. I mean. Like, I don't think, like, you ever get the whole story. And so it's just kind of like saying, like, you know, like, I'm aware that, like, sometimes this is what it looks like.
Well, that's got to be a danger that you run talking about, you know, slice of life comics.
Right. Yeah,
that's, yeah. You know, you're talking about life experiences there, and people are going to pick it apart.
Well, for something like Every Girl is the End of the World for me, I was sort of interested about how do you go about picking sort of the story that you picked in this? Because there's nothing really within it that I would say is like earth-shattering.
Yeah.
It's literally a slice of life, but what about that story makes it stick out to you as being worthy to tell a story of?
I try not to analyze things too much, and I try to trust my instincts, like the same way as like when I wrote Clumsy and like the stories that I included and didn't include, I just kind of went according to like, well, this is like stuff that I think about more often, or like this is for some reason sticks out in my head, so for some reason it must be important, so that's what I'm
just
gonna
what
write
you remember,
about.
Yeah,
and like, and I think like, you know, like, you know, my subconscious knows more than I do sometimes, so. With Every Girl is the End of the World for me, that book was just kind of like trying to put a stamp on like the relationship stuff for a while, like, and just kind of
wrap it up
and just, you know, kind of like leave things like, you know, it's not like say that, you know, like the stuff isn't like really earth shattering, you know, it is what it is. Like, it's just like, and like I did like a 3-week period day by day, and it's just kind of, you know, taking that and just saying like, this is just, yeah. It's a slice.
It's sort of like the concept of, you know, ambient music where one piece of it sort of, if you take one piece of a song that's an ambient song, it reflects like the whole song. In a lot of ways, like a book like this, what I really liked about it is sort of the way the relationships work in this book pretty much describes most relationships that I have had on some level one way or another at some point.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I think like the one big thing it was getting at was just, you know, how like, you know, a lot of things just don't pan out and that like that's okay, whatever. And
a lot of things don't pan out.
Yeah, and that's a feeling. The first book I read of yours was Unlikely.
Your tap dance career?
And
shut up.
Unlikely. I connected with the book in a lot of ways because, and I think for a lot of people, your books will remind them at least of parts of relationships that they've had. Mm-hmm. Whether it's uncomfortable.
Fuck that, not me.
Oh, hush.
Just
kidding. Yeah, you big
every teddy
one of bear,
mine
you.
Is totally rad and awesome.
Yeah. Oh, mine been be a man.
Strippers and why did you choose to write autobiographical work? What brought you?
I mean, like that was another thing that came out of like being at the Art Institute, and like up until then, like I had like there were little snippets that were coming up in my sketchbooks, like just little moments, and you know, I've always been kind of like more interested in moments or like just like kind of these kind of poetic thoughts. Like poetic in that, you know, like kind of trying to capture the essence of like something in like a neat little package rather than like, you know, extended narratives. Although, you know, like when you add up the moments, like you can get those narratives. So I was trying to get at that, and while I was at in my sketchbooks, and then while I was at the Art Institute, I'm doing these paintings that don't really have anything to do with anything, and I kind of wanted to do like the exact opposite and like create something like as like human and honest and like straightforward as possible and like mm-hmm. just like yeah. Well, lay it out there.
I was going to say when you were mentioning capturing small moments, one of the things I really liked about I'm Going to Be Small is sort of the way when I read it, it came across is very much when you have conversations with your friends and someone says something that when you isolate it in and of itself is really, really funny.
Right.
Out of context, but it just seemed what was really great is it sort of took on sort of a narrative of its own because it's all these single moments that I remember. I've heard my friends say just crazy shit that yeah. There's a reason why they said it, but if you just take that and put it out there, it's really funny and it says a lot about what people are doing.
And you're like, write that down.
No, usually I'm like, shut up.
Well, it's interesting. You know, what's interesting to me about it is, you know, most of the time people don't look at those little moments that add up to your life. You know,
right.
I mean, and they do. I mean, although those, you know, most of the time,
a slice of the life.
But normally when you know someone is starting out or they're looking to write a story, it's you know they're going off of what they've seen before or what
yeah.
they've done. You know, and it's like the basic you know three act structure and dramatic, and you know you have
right.
all those things. So how, you know, why do you think you know, it was like automatically that was,
well,
you know, where you
I
went
mean,
with it?
I think it, like it's something that I think is lost in what we see in the media. Like, you know, like if you look at, like, have you seen the TV show Extras?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So
yeah.
the episode with, Kate Winslet where she's like, you know, like
yeah.
guaranteed Oscar if you're in like a Holocaust movie. Like there's like something about like this like extraordinary drama that's just kind of like, you know, like yeah, it's spectacular and it's like meaningful and poignant, but like most of us don't
we'll never experience that.
Yeah. And like but we do experience things and we do experience like moments that mean a lot to us. And so I think like one of the things I try to get at is that you know, these things that, you know, really in the grand scheme of things are virtually meaningless, but, like, they take on, like, this great significance in our individual lives.
That's, yeah, so I...
Correct, you're right.
No, well, I have a
question. You're on to phase two!
Hit me again.
It's interesting, I mean, it's just as you're saying things, you know, I'm starting to sort of reanalyze your work and not only your work, but a lot of other sort of independent stuff in the same kind of vein. A friend of mine who is all he reads is independent comics, and I remember one day he was like, "What, you know, how come you don't read anything out? Why is it? What is it about these comics?" I really didn't read much of independent autobiographical stuff when I was younger, and it was like, "What is it about these books that you know you find so interesting? Why is it, you know?" And his answer was because the writers are not trying to look for something extraordinary in anything but everyday life, and they look at the average life and they lift that up to a level that everyone can appreciate.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what you're kind of trying to...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, most of the people living, you know, will never, you know, do, like, something great. Like, you know, we're...
What?
Like,
like, well, not me.
Like, you know, like...
Right, we're not all going to be movie stars. We're not all going to be, you know...
Not everybody gets their 15 minutes.
It's like, you know, like Martin Luther King, like, did something that, you know...
99.9%
of the people, like, ever living will, like, never do something like that. But, you know, like, our lives are meaningful, and, like I don't think we should, like, diminish ourselves... just because, like, we're not at that level. Like,
do you think a lot of times we sort of as a society look at, because we're so inundated with, you know, television and the news with, you know, it's all about what's the extreme in that instance.
Yeah.
And it's like we have to, in our everyday lives, we just judge ourselves against that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, which is another reason, like, why I think one of the reasons why when I first started writing autobiographical comics, I was writing about relationships, was I wanted to write about these, you know, things that weren't, you know, like every movie you see, it's like, the guy, like, you know, he's kind of awkward, but he finds his girl, like,
the supermodel.
I'm trying to think of the actor, the British actor.
Hugh Grant,
like every movie, he's like,
there's always like
he's always like this workplace romance that happens, like, you know, and it's like always like so, like, you know,
there's always a perfect, there's always
like
an ending.
It's like it's always like, you know, like it's always happily ever after, which, you know, like, granted, that's what most people want, but like you can have like happily ever after, but it doesn't have to be
fairy tale happy.
Like it doesn't have to be like. That happy.
Unreal. Yeah. It could be just okay.
Yeah, it's or like, hey, it can be like kind of happy and like occasionally like pissed off. Like,
or well, you have like an ending that's really bad or something, but sometimes things never get, I mean, like something like Every Girl is the end of the world to me, like the, you know, things just don't happen. And it's not horrible and it's not
right.
Yeah,
it's
your
just
endings
just like,
seem to be more life goes on.
Right.
And
right.
It's on to the next work.
Yeah.
You know?
And but then at the same time it's like, you know, life goes on, but like this thing, even if it had its like horrible moments or it was really hard or whatever, like it's still like worthwhile. It's mm-hmm. still like
what I really enjoyed about Every Girl is the end of I really enjoyed it. Was that you made sure that you were sick the entire time and coughing.
Yeah.
Which for some reason to me was like really great that every once in a while I was like, oh yeah,
he's
got
sick.
A bad call.
Well, I mean, that was another weird thing about that 3 week period was like, I was like I got sick right at the beginning of those 3 weeks, and then like it was right toward the end when I finally got better. like I think it's like there's some sort of like symbolic correspondence there too.
But I just enjoyed that, you know, after a while you forget that you're sick, because I was reading it and I'm like, you just ignore the cough, and then all of a sudden at the end, he's still coughing.
Yeah, it's actually a grand scheme. I called in sick to work a bunch of days, and this is just to convince
to write
them.
My
really was sick.
My funny Jeffrey Brown story is
wrote a book about it.
I went to
he was sick the whole time.
See, it's
plumbing,
right here.
Your next book is called slack. "My Plumbing in My Apartment's Bad."
Yeah,
to explain why you didn't show up.
My dog. Did you ever read "My Dog Ate My Homework"? Kind of a
yeah,
of course.
It did happen.
I wanted to ask you about the book you did with James Kolchaka. Is that how you pronounce
Kolchaka.
It? Kolchaka.
Yep.
Conversation. I really enjoyed this, and I had seen some of his work before, familiar with it, but I was kind of interested how this project came about and what the process was like of working with him.
James came up with the idea for the series, and there's been two so far. The first one was with Craig Thompson, who
wrote
best known for Blankets.
Sure.
Although he just did the album artwork for this band called Mino Mina.
Oh yeah,
and like it's the craziest album artwork I've ever seen. It's really cool. That's a unrelated to comics, I guess.
No, that's right.
The other podcast.
Anyway, well, so we got to talk about Death Cab for Cutie.
We'll get to that.
So James had this idea of, you know, doing like it's like two artists and mm-hmm. they kind of respond to each other, each on the page, and he has like Frank Miller has supposedly agreed to do one.
Really?
But, you know. That was a couple of years ago.
Well, he runs late on his stuff, you know.
he's to working busy. On 300 right now, yeah. I think.
And the basic process is that, you know, one of the artists draws half a page, and then we were working by email, so he would email it, and then I would draw the other half to fit with that, and then. He would combine them in Photoshop, and then like so I would draw the second half of the first page and then the first half to the next page.
Now did you both script it, or were you scripting
like
your part, or
yeah, like yeah, so we both
so it literally was a conversation,
yeah. And so like I had like and it, you know, it's really organic, and it's a little difficult because I think like you have this like you know, I'd be trying to set something up. And like so, you know, I'd get the beginning to what I'm trying to set up, and then where I'm going, and then James would, you know, go
up.
Somewhere else.
Kind of like a conversation. Like,
oh,
yeah,
fuck.
And it's like, come on, stay on track here, man.
It's like
don't
us doing this
show.
I was fascinated by. I mean, I really was. It was
yeah.
interesting. The conversation that the two of you had, you know, was about art and creating comics, and it was, but it was fascinating to see. You know, I kept looking at the panels, going, well, you know, did he draw the backgrounds? Did they both do it? And trying to figure that out. It was. It really a neat book. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. So
thanks.
Backgrounds were all Jack Kirby.
Oh, that's
the ghost.
Those were photoshopped in, too. From
they were voted
all
in by fans.
References.
The book took us years to complete with all the fan voting.
The American Idol version of background.
Each panel had to be voted on.
Hi, this is Jason Aaron, writer of Vertigo, The Other Side, and you're listening to Around Comics. And if you don't sound off that you love the Virgin Mary, I'm going to rip your fucking guts out.
Jeffrey, one of the things that I was reading an interview you had done, I don't remember if it was with a website, but in it they had shown a panel from one of your books, and it was just a simple line. You were with a girl, and you said, "Hi, have you met my new
my next book?"
Yeah. That was it, and it struck a chord. I was just wondering how have things changed in your storytelling from, you know, when you started to now, where you're known as, you know, an autobiographical comic artist, or how have things, you know, because you write about yourself and your own life experiences.
Did women become very afraid to date you?
Some were very afraid and others were more eager, I guess. No, I don't think it really made a difference to, I mean, I think overall maybe like, yeah, people are a little more cautious, but.
If I talk about this guy, he's going to write about me, kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess there is, I mean, like a lot of people make jokes like, oh, are you going to write about that? Like when something just happened. Like,
do you ever just say yes?
Like, well, no, I'm not now.
Like say a yes, podcast no. that you were on.
No, it's...
called asshole.
I try to only write about stuff like a little while after it's happened, so that there's some distance. And I'm very conscious of not, you know, doing anything like right now, if I were to write about this podcast or something, like it would have to come from somewhere like a while from now, like, and there'd have to be some other reason for it other than mm-hmm. And I am consciously getting away from making like relationships per se or at least romantic relationships the focus of anything, but yeah.
Well, do you consider yourself a writer or an artist, or do you consider yourself a graphic novelist? You know, I think there are distinctions between all those.
I think I usually refer to myself as cartoonist, which,
okay.
Or I guess graphic novelist would be about that. Like, I
friend.
Think
first friend.
Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
Right.
First, I'm a friend. You know, but there's some serious
writing going on here, and there's serious cartooning.
The writing always comes first, and you know, there's very rarely anything that I'm drawing that I'm drawing because it's visually interesting to me somehow. Well, maybe in like some of like the gag stuff, and I'm going to be small, is where it's a more visual joke or something. But for the most part, it's about whatever the idea is, and then arranging things to get that across. Mm-hmm. So, at least for the autobiographical stuff. So I guess maybe a little more of a writer, but yeah, I usually say cartoonist.
Okay. Well, we have a few questions from our forum, and we'll start off with our friend from Pop Syndicate and View from the Cheap Seats, Mr. Scott Cederland. He says, what does he think of Grand Rapids? Being a former Grand Rapids resident myself, it's a strange little town.
It is. I can't complain too much having grown up there. Like, you know, I think I had a pretty good childhood overall, but it is kind of this weird town because it's a very large metropolitan area, but then the mentality there is very kind of almost small town like. Like it's not a big city like Chicago where there's a lot of things culturally happening. Although I think that was changing even like around the time I left, but it just seemed like everyone like that did anything from Grand Rapids, like it was always like when they left Grand Rapids, then they did something with their life. So I don't know. That's not 30
of the presidents have been from Grand Rapids.
Gerald R. Ford was from Grand Rapids, actually. Recently deceased.
29 to go, Tom. Name them.
All right. the next question is from John Sokol. He said, you have a very non-traditional art style. On first look, it can appear even a bit crude. However, your drawings do an excellent job of conveying feeling and emotion. When you first started creating comics, did you... get much resistance to your work because of your art style? If so, how did you overcome it?
I don't think I got that much resistance. One, like being in art school, I think a lot of the people seeing my work maybe were already, you know, like kind of prepared for like less traditional methods of drawing, and I think like alternative comics in general, there's, you know, kind of a little more open to that, and that was where, you know, I first started finding an audience. And then outside of that, like just even like kind of, I think the other thing that my style has done is it's pretty accessible and readable, so whatever, you know, people might have in terms of preconceptions about art style, like they only need to read a little bit before they can get drawn into it. So I think like as long as I can hook them, then that kind of overcomes any kind of resistance they might have to the style.
It only took me a few pages into Unlikely where I was like, oh, okay, this is just the feel of it. And then I was able to kind of fall into the story.
Do you find, it seems to me that there's a huge divide mostly between, like, you know, typical comic book fans and then alternative comic book fans. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of crossover in between those two groups. Why do you think that may be, or, you know, have you ever thought about that at all? Why is it that, you know, like guys that read Marvel or DC, and you said you know, growing up you were a Marvel Comics fan,
right?
All of us are so resistant to anything outside of what they know.
I think that's just, you know, human nature is, you know, anything that you're not used to that's different, you know, you tend to be a little skeptical of. But I don't know. I think part of it might be that just, you know, people decide that this is what they like, and you know, they kind of write things off without trying them. I think people go through phases mm-hmm. too. Like, you know, I don't know. I still like have a serious soft spot for like mainstream superhero stuff, and like I get like I like come in here and like every once in a while we'll pick up something that like, you know, I maybe even feel embarrassed about in the alternative comic circles. But
keep that in mind. He comes in here.
What? Yeah. Hey, Mark, can you grab Jeffrey's poll list and we'll
read it? No.
There's lots of Jeff Browns in the
in the
local area here.
Two copies of every number one issue.
Yeah, no, I mean I've been there, but not two copies. I've always been about reading the comic more than collecting, but at least in terms of like collecting for like value, like definitely like when Mad Men was first coming out, and I would get like I had like the little Wizard ash can comic mm-hmm. that, and like just all this different stuff. But
well, speaking about, you know, divisions, not just in the comic book world and those fans, I imagine going to the Art Institute, and you don't just waltz into the Art Institute of Chicago. That is a very prestigious art school. And as being, were you a cartoonist there, and were there other cartoonists there?
They didn't really know what to do with me. I think, like, they're still... Like, I mean, that's one of the problems that alternative comics maybe has, is that, you know, the mainstream side maybe looks at them, the alternative side, as being a little snooty and a little this and that. But then, like...
Indie snobs.
I mean, like, sure. If you think, like, alternative comics are snooty, like, the art world is just even more snooty. Like, the art critic for the Chicago Sun-Times wrote this review of Chris Ware's art show at the MCA,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, I mean, it's obvious like he didn't get it, like he wasn't even attempting to like understand things, but so they like they didn't really like when I was doing paintings and stuff, they had a lot to say.
I bet.
And then when I started doing comics, they kind of all like, well, I guess it's good. I don't really know.
I don't know.
Put you off in the corner. And, yeah, just turning in at the end of the semester.
And there, I mean, there's a few people there. Like, there's another guy that has a book out from Top Shelf named Jeremy Tinder, who's actually there right now. And Lily Carre, who's also had a book from Top Shelf. She graduated there for undergrad. And Anders Nilsson, who is also on the Holy Consumption website with me, mm-hmm. Was there, like, right... He didn't finish, but he was there, too, and was doing cartoons, but I had never met him while we were there.
Well, there's a pretty active alternative comic scene in Chicago. You mentioned, you know, Chris Ware, and I think he's probably the poster boy for alternative comics in a lot of different ways. And you were obviously, you know, proud that he's a Chicagoan. What's your relationship with Chris Ware like?
Well, I mean, we're friends. He's incredibly busy, and he is also a new father, so, and I myself am a new father, so, like, just in, like, keeping in touch with anyone these days is hard, but, I mean, especially, like, when I first started, Chris was incredibly supportive and encouraged me in a lot of ways, just aside from being a fan of his work.
Sure. But, and that's Chris Ware of Acme Novelty Library, by the way. And it's just absolutely, you want to talk about a draftsman. That guy is incredible.
But what about robots?
He does robots.
Oh, he's transitioning into the next post.
Was that a segue? Oh, I'm sorry.
We missed Tom.
Stepped all over yourself.
Tom, why don't you field this one?
This is from Charlito from Innie Spinnerack.
Fantastic podcast.
Oh, Chris, congrats on the Jeffrey Brown thing. He means interview.
This is after Charlito just finished up the Alan Moore interview.
This is so cool. Definitely ask him about the Incredible Change Bots. We've declared that as one of our big books we're anticipating in 007. It's nice. I cannot wait for that. Here's a promo for if you haven't seen it, and since we're an audio show, you can't see this promo, but I'm looking
at
it.
Well, if you go to the Top Shelf website, you can actually see a few of the interior pages now, even.
Now, I'm assuming that this is from another one of your past relationships.
Yes.
With Bumblebee.
Yes, when you were a Transformer.
Yeah, I had to change his name for legal reasons. But, Incredible Changebots, it's actually an idea I had a few years ago. It started showing up in my sketchbooks. I've done Big Head, which is kind of like this nostalgic recapturing my love of superheroes and kind of not just like making fun of superheroes, but like trying to get at like why I like superhero comics when I was a kid. I was a big Transformers fan as a kid, and I started having these weird, like, I called them the Incredible Change Bots in my sketchbooks. And the timing, it is going to be out in July, right? When the Transformers book is out. But
very nice.
It's
very
more
nice.
Like,
not just an artist, a marketing genius.
Well, I figured I should get it done and have it out before the movie, in case the movie like was really bad, and like after the movie everyone was like, oh, Transformers suck so bad.
Robots?
Don't want them.
So
changing robots.
Yeah, so shape changing robots. Yeah. It's my first full color full book.
Really?
Oh, all right.
I wish I could have brought it. At least you guys could have seen it. But if you go to the Top Shelf,
we're here
website,
every Friday, Jeffrey.
I have to come back. Why don't you guys stop by my house?
How many pages?
It's 144 pages. So
okay. Meaty?
It's one story. It's kind of like, you know, a riff on the Transformer story where like they leave their planet and they crash on Earth and. But hopefully it's funny. And
when did the toys come out?
Probably never.
Well, I'm still waiting for the what were the different items in the Big Head franchise?
Actually, there was actually a prototype of the Big Head toy made as that someone made as part of like a. They were working on getting a job with a toy company that my friend worked for. And he asked them if they would try and, like, they would do, like, a Big Head figure. And so, like, I have,
cool.
like the resin cast.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic.
Which is pretty cool. But, doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon either. But
now, the majority of your books come out through Top Shelf. Would you say that you're exclusive publisher?
So far, well, no, not. I mean, so far everything's. All the books have come out from Top Shelf. I had been doing contributing to the Fantagraphics Moam anthology. Mm. Although
that's awesome stuff. Moam is great.
I've actually stopped for the time being just to concentrate on other stuff. My next two big biographical books are actually coming out from Touchstone Fireside, which is an imprint of Simon and Schuster. Mm. So the Little Things book, which I gave you like the preview of this one, is the first of those two, and that'll come out next spring. And then I also did a cat book for Chronicle Books, and that's coming out in April. And that's just like, do any of you guys like cats?
Sure.
I'm a dog man. I can understand.
Well, if you like cats, it's just like 100 some pages of cute cat stuff, like, you know. Nice. Swatting at spots on the wall.
No,
running around for no reason.
Like, now, as a character, are you ever going to graduate from the stubble? I see you're sporting the full beard now.
It is
in real
pretty
life.
Full lately.
Yeah. It has to be as cold as it is out there.
Yeah, no, it's shaving like, cause like, and I never shave completely. I just use the sideburn trimmer because I hate shaving completely. It's usually not this full. This is pretty full.
You're like Mountain Man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, like, when I'm supposed to graduate, like, at some point.
I'm ready to see
like,
little Jeffrey Brown grow up in these books, man.
Little Jeffrey. Downtown Jeffrey
Brown. Well,
you
can't change it's a copyrighted
It's a brand.
Image.
A branded
like,
image.
People will know what they're getting into. They're like, what is this?
All the toys would be junk. They'd be like, I want
doing
a bearded Jeffrey Brown.
I'm doing a...
It's like the bearded G.I. Joe.
One of the other books I'm doing for Simon & Schuster is actually going to start in high school, so... Instead of the beard, I'll have pimples all over.
So. With the really bad 12-year-old mustache, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that I ever even got that, really. I think I just one day went from that to
woke up. He had a stubble. Yeah. Where'd this come from? Hey, you know, I want to ask you about, you know, a lot of times you see in alternative comics, you know, a lot of almost bitterness to mainstream comics. And that's a lot of the subject matter sometimes where it's, you know, they're more than just riffing on, but I mean,
almost venomous.
Yeah. And your stuff isn't like that at all. It doesn't. I mean, you play with it, and you know, you have fun with different concepts in there.
I mean, I think it's maybe misdirected to, you know, I think a lot of it is just from how the market is in America, where, you know, the market is so much centered on like superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, people don't give the other stuff a lot of chance, and I think, like, you know, it's like fighting for, like, you know, it's, I think it's more that they're upset that, you know, like, you know, if you're giving this stuff a chance, which you've seen before, or, you know, like we think is, you know, just repetitive and not as meaningful, like why don't you at least give this a chance? And but, you know, and like, it's like you'll see the same thing now happening with manga, now that mangas is getting like this huge market share now, like, I mean, the superheroes and the alternative people are both like,
why aren't you trying this?
Like, you people, why do you like manga? You know, so I think it's, you know, it's just, you know, people want their work to be seen, and like, you know, people have opinions as to, like, you know, what they think is good and like what they think, you know, deserves attention. So I think it has a lot to do with that. Like, you know, I think, you know, it, you know, do what you want to do, and if people like it, they like it, and if they don't, they don't. Like, you know, you can't really just go around faulting people for liking something else.
Right.
So.
Tom does it all the time.
It's just... Why do you like that?
Unless it's really stupid.
Yeah, unless it's, like, stupid, then it's...
it's wrong. You
gotta point it. It's your duty to point that out.
Yeah.
No, I was just wondering if it was sort of a conscious decision at all to stay away from that, because to me it seems like it's detrimental. I mean, yeah, you're going to have a certain group of people that are going to like that because that's the way they feel too. But, I mean, don't all artists want as many people as possible to see their work? I mean, don't you want everyone to be able to enjoy it?
I mean, like, I would hope that my stuff appeals to you know, all different people. I know not everyone's going to like it. And, like, even if you look at, like, amongst my different projects, like, some people really like some stuff and don't like other stuff at all. And, like, you know, that's fine. You know, for me, it's not a conscious decision. It's just... You know, it's just I don't.
Well, I'm not really. I think your work really does have.
I don't feel really concerned.
Yeah, I gave. My wife read Unlikely, and
it's for the lady,
and she enjoyed it. But actually, she, you know, she's about three quarters of the way through it, and she's like, "Man, this guy needs to get a pair." And then, and
wow.
then I gave.
Well, that's because she has a tremendous pair.
Yeah, Marta is a special breed. I love you to death, honey.
Well,
but then I gave her Be a Man, and she's like, "Oh, okay, now I get it." So and she's like, "Okay."
Well, I mean, that's a whole other issue, like, what, like, separating, like, me as a character in these autobiographical books, which are, you know, it's all true, but, you know, it's...
Well, my point is that she read it. If I had given her, like, Daredevil, you know, whatever, Born Again, she would have looked at me cross-eyed and hit me with it. Yeah, and she would have hit me with it. But she read yours, and she enjoyed it. So I think that your stuff does have some nice
appeal. I know you, because I hadn't read any of your work beforehand, before you...
Why not?
Because I'm a fanboy. You know.
It's wrong.
But Chris had been reading, you were reading, was it Unlikely?
Unlikely,
And then we scheduled, you know, you to be on the show, and he was, you were about three quarters of the way done with Unlikely, and you're like, oh, you're gonna hate his stuff. I mean, that's, he just assumed that I would just absolutely hate your work, and I read everything that you get, you know, and I liked all of it. I mean, I didn't
there is a quiet little sensitive sow inside that shell, isn't there?
Yes, but no, I did absolutely, and I, you know, like I said. I think it's very accessible, and it's it does amaze me. I mean, it doesn't amaze me, but it surprises me sometimes how unwilling people are to try stuff. I mean, in any capacity in comics, it's like, this is what I read. This is what I've read since I was 10, well, I mean, and that's all I'm gonna read.
I mean, it even goes, like, when I was a kid, I was like, I was a Marvel guy. Like, I didn't read Batman except for Dark Knight Returns.
Tom, don't hit him. Don't
hit him. I still kind of don't like Superman. Like,
what do you read now? What do you read today? I mean, what kind of stuff do you read?
Newspaper.
I mean, I read like most of the alternative stuff.
But you don't really like it, do you?
You just do it so you can talk to your contemporaries.
You know, it's just networking for me. Just like. No, I just picked up like the new Fables that's being drawn by Mike Allred, and like
that was nice.
And I didn't really like read much Fables before, so it's kind of nice. I don't know, like mainstream stuff, like just.
Well, no, what alternative stuff are you?
I mean, like the other guys from the Holy Consumption, like I read all their stuff actually. Paul Hartschmeyer has a new book coming out this spring, summer, depending on when it comes back from the printers. But I'm excited to read that. And Anders Nilsson, who writes the Big Question series, like I always like his work. Chris Ware's books, like I still love. And Dan Klaus, when he gets something done, he's another guy busy off with the movies, but.
Did you see Art School Confidential?
I did.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I think it was pretty dark and I think maybe, like, the studios didn't know how to market that, mm-hmm. but.
I was surprised by it. It wasn't really funny. It wasn't at all what I expected.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of expected more of sort of that. Bitterness or that, you know, and it wasn't, I mean, it was funny, it was entertaining, I mean, it was a great examination of that subculture. I mean,
and if you've been to art school, like, just like some of the stuff, like John Malkovich, when he's like I was one of the first to
do triangles.
Like, you know, it's just like, and it's just, I mean, like, but I mean, that's like a sentiment that you can carry over to, like, you know,
everything,
like anything, like, you know, I was one of the first to do this thing that everyone's doing and was already.
And it isn't really that big a deal anyway.
And obviously you weren't the first to do.
Any Hollywood aspirations for you? Can you see any of these turned into even independent movies?
Yeah, I've had kind of like a bad experience with someone who wanted to do a movie of Clumsy, and just the legalities and like, cause it's not just like protecting like my work, but like that's my life too. And it's also like other people's lives. And
sure,
like with Hollywood, it's like, you've got to give up control to get that. I mean, like, I'd love to see like someone do a Big Head cartoon or something, but like the autobiographical stuff.
You may have problems with the Incredible Change Bots. Just, I think, from a copyright standpoint.
Right. It's parody.
Yeah. The GoBots were fine, and they suck.
The GoBots, they got bought by the Transformers, now, didn't they?
Okay. I think so.
Tell us about the Holy Consumption.
The Holy Consumption is, it's a website. Paul Hartschmeyer, one of the cartoonists on it, it was his idea. And originally it was... there's four of us. There's also Anders Nilsson and John Hankowitz are the other two artists. And we're all Chicago area artists and all kind of doing our self-published mini comics and things. And except for Paul, none of us were selling anything online. We'd sell stuff at some of the shops like Quimby's and Graham Crackers and some of the shops that do consignment sales. And so he created the website to do like have an online store and then also to like give us a presence where people could find out about our work. And like, so there's samples of each of us. We take turns on every week putting up like either sketchbook pages or sketches from stuff we're working on that's coming out later or whatever. And so it's, yeah, it's just a nice place, like, if you're interested in seeing some of our work.
It's great. And where is that? It's the, it's the web address?
Theholyconsumption.com.
Nice.
So.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much, A, for coming in a few weeks ago and dropping off these amazing books. They've been a lot of fun to read.
I'm definitely a Jeffrey Brown fan now, so
yeah.
I will.
You surprised me, Sal. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks. What are you talking about?
He was like going to come in, and Sal was going to be like, "Oh,
wait, have I ever talked about any book that I don't like? Really?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't talk about books that you don't like. yeah, it's been great. Reading all of this, I still have several that they took that I didn't read Big Head, so I'm looking forward to.
He didn't know you were a superhero.
I didn't know that you did superhero stuff. Yeah, so that's exciting.
That's why.
We're obviously looking forward to Incredible Chainspots. Once again, a release date on that?
Should be up for San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
So I don't know when it'll hit stores.
What's the best way that people can get your books? At Top Shelf? Or?
You can order them right through Top Shelf. You can have your local comic shop order them in. They're all, you know, Top Shelf solicits everything through Diamond 2. And you can even order them from Borders or Barnes & Noble. Reporters. Or Barnes & Noble. Either one.
Jeffrey.
Amazon. Borders. Most bookstores can at least order them.
Order through, okay.
I mean, Diamond, you know, has Top Shelf distributes through Diamond, so pretty much any bookstore or comic shop should.
If there was one book for someone to start with, what would be the Jeffrey Brown primer?
Jesus Christ.
You want to start with Start Clumsy? Was that your first?
I mean, if you want to go with the autobiographical stuff, I usually recommend Clumsy. It's a little, you know, bittersweet story of a long distance relationship. If you're looking for like the more fun stuff, I would say I'm Going to Be Small, which is mostly gag stuff. If you're looking for like my superhero parody is Big Head. So if you're really into superheroes and you're afraid of trying alternative comics, like, you could go with that one.
And Tom was a big fan of Every Girl Is the End of the World.
Yeah, maybe. I like that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. And I
got a really bad review in the Comics Journal.
Oh, well.
What do they know?
They like anything. You plan on working on anything? You said you just had a baby in November?
I did.
Plan on any?
Well, I didn't actually.
Well, you did physically.
I was there.
First man to have a child.
Actually, I think that wasn't that a comic.
Yeah, that's a comic.
I'm going to be small.
Like, what if men had babies? And
Ouch.
Any plans on incorporating the baby?
You know, I do kind of want to write about the pregnancy, like the process of like all these weird changes that, like, you know, like you read all these books, but like nothing can prepare you for that, and like. Nothing can prepare you for, like, having a kid. It's amazing. But I'm wary of writing too much about, like, you know, I don't want to, like, make him a subject. Like, what if he wants to grow up to be like me and draw autobiographical comics? How is he going to write about his childhood if
you already
written everything? He's like, thanks, Dad.
Be, you know, Dad. You know, continued from the last words of Jeffrey Brown.
No, so, but, I mean, like, definitely, like, fatherhood is something that's affecting me.
It definitely changes you. That's no question.
Well, I don't think it's a real far walk for you to keep us updated. And all we would ask is please do not be a stranger. You are welcome here anytime.
Yeah, I'll have to stop in again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll meet you halfway.
Would that be like what, the McDonald's across the street?
Yeah, we'll be at the McDonald's.
Meet you for a Big Mac.
McDonald's. Yeah. Actually, we'll have a coffee, alley next to.
They have
McDonald's.
You know, free coffee on Tuesdays. All right, guys. Well, Jeffrey, thank you very much. We've got a couple announcements here. First of all,
Jesus,
it's going to be quick announcements. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Want to remind everyone the year of Alan Moore continues. We've just wrapped up January, which was our Watchmen and the complete ballad of Halo Jones. I totally cheated. I read Watchmen, loved it again. I just got Complete Ballad of Halo Jones in the mail, so I'm bumping that one personally to February. But I'll also be reading V for Vendetta and Skiz, which is on the February slate.
I'm watching the movie.
No, I'm just
watch the movies.
Look forward. look forward to March. That is our month of From Hell.
Oh, I just got my. Take 3 months.
Start reading it now.
Yeah, no kidding. I just got my From Hell hardcover in the mail yesterday.
I'm not
yesterday.
Smart enough to read that.
So I can't wait for that. So anyway, go to the forum, check out the Year of Alan Moore, which leads us into our contest right now, contest. which we talked about it in the last episode. We're extending for a couple
There's
weeks.
There's two things that are going. We will be extending it, and as I've mentioned previously, my hard drive on my Mac crashed. I have everyone's name who entered the contest. Mm-hmm. I believe I do. I have... almost everyone.
If you entered the contest, resubmit it. Send it to Tom. He lost everyone.
I lost. And whoever wrote the Bizarro one was really good. And now
Ooh,
I can't remember.
Front runner? We have a front runner?
Well, no. I'm just going to randomly pick who the winner is.
Oh.
Yeah, but that one was really good.
No. It's not going to be based on quality. It's just...
No.
You've got a lot of quality entries. But anyway.
So I shouldn't put any effort into it?
No, you should.
Because you'll pick a random winner.
Well, no, I'll tell you if you didn't. One guy wanted...
You'll berate them if...
One guy said I hadn't read Watchmen, so I didn't... Can I just enter anyway? Anything. And I said no, and I sent him my trade paperback copy and said, read it and write me something.
Okay. For
I
people
thought
that,
I was dishonest.
For people that have no idea what we're talking about, what is the contest
time? I accidentally ordered two copies of Absolute Watchmen while I was drunk.
Watching the Packers.
And Bears, they won. They finished up the last four games.
Bears.
And anyway, I would like...
How about that Super Bowl?
Yeah,
that was amazing. Wow.
I can't believe Grossman threw for 800
yards. 800
yards.
Touchdowns. He broke
In order
NFL
to get
records.
That copy of Absolute Watchmen, you need to tell me why Watchmen is influential by drawing some sort of parallel between Watchmen and a book that you're enjoying right now.
Because Wizard told me?
Yeah, that won't count.
Oh.
Because I reserve the right to reject someone's entry if I don't think they have put any effort whatsoever
that's
into
what
it.
I was looking at.
Yeah, and all entries must be received by 2 weeks from... Monday, so
you know what?
I say February 15th?
Hey, you know what? Let's announce it after the or at the New York Comic Con. So
okay.
we'll take entries up to the 20th of February, and we'll announce it at the New York Comic Con.
There you go.
And good luck.
Good luck to all.
All right, guys. Sal, the hotline
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail.
Let's wrap this puppy up so Jeffrey can get home.
Well, he
can
leave. He could have left any time.
You want? You can go.
Just kidding.
This is how
I he's got his Red Wings hat on.
I'm closing this thing down.
All right,
yeah,
man.
Okay, he's here. He's here for the whole. All right, guys. Real quick here.
He's here for the after party.
You can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. There's a few different ways you can do this. First of all is the Listener LCS Challenge. Just go to www.aroundcomics.com. Click on the Listener LCS Challenge. Download our flyer and take it into your local comic shop. Ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they would be so kind as to display it. And if they do, we will mention you and the shop on our show, just like Tardy's Collector's Corner. The store manager is Tim Priest, and it is located at 2009 Eastern Avenue.
Hold on.
Store I grew up going
yeah.
to.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Ironically, they just sent us that like
really?
3 days ago.
That's so I grew up going to Tardy's.
And I read that today, and I'm like, oh, wow. He just, because it was in the Indicia,
totally,
right?
Or what? Totally.
Well, they have
that's
a
amazing.
Absolutely coincidental.
Yeah, yeah. That was G-Dog.
G-Dog on our forum goes there, and he asked them to put one of our signs, and they emailed us and said they did. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So they have a flyer for the show, and you're on this week, so hopefully some of the hometown folks will hear you next week. So or now. I get so confused. All right.
Well, if you're listening to the show, you're listening to it now.
He just blew my... Brain.
Oh, hurts. All right, you can give us a dig at dig.com. You can visit us and become our friend at Comic Space. That's www.comicspace.com/aroundcomics.
Where you can now see all of Brian Bowles' Long Box of Love episodes, because they just put the feature up where you can put comics on your site.
Oh,
so
that's
I uploaded
awesome.
All the Brian, the Long Box of Love comics.
Fantastic. Are you a Comic Space person yet?
No, I'm in that MySpace.
MySpace.
Comic Space is like
space,
is MySpace for... comic folks.
Nerds.
So,
it's a smart.
We'll be your friend.
We're coming out with Tom Space.
Tom Space.
All right.
And then there
my
is
phone.
My personal favorite, the iTunes Music Review, Be As Cool As Andy Parks.
And also check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. While you're there, please take a minute to fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we are talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show.
And it's now an Eagle Award nominated.
Along with
comic book website. And everybody else.
I can start a site tomorrow.
Who's nominated?
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
And just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com. Coming up next week, we'll be talking with talented newcomer and writer of The Damned, Cullen Bunn. In 2 weeks, we get ready to hear from the man who made Wolverine fun again and is now taking over The Flash, Mark Guggenheim.
And thanks again to Borders. Borders has thousands of graphic novels, collected editions, essentials, and manga to choose from. Not only will you find exactly what you are looking for, you'll discover unexpected new authors and series. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, I keep saying it differently, and more. Google Borders for a valuable coupon, and always remember to check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borderstores.com.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal, Tom, as always, Mr. Jeffrey Brown, please don't be a stranger. It was fantastic having you here.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll be back again on Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Fictional callers.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me.